Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. You just missed a Craig rant about fantasy football, which is always quite something to start us off.
Short
what he said about it, though, can't be repeated on air. Shaka Hislop is with us. We also welcome to the show Julien Laurent as well, as we focus on what happened. Ellen Rowe today, Leeds in action against Manchester City. Manchester City beating Leeds by 3-1 in the end. They had so many chances in the first half, but in the end it was Rodri who made it 1-0 just before the break. Then the brace for Erling Haaland will make it 3. We saw Leeds get one back, but in the end it is City who take all 3 points, which means they close the gap on Arsenal once again to 5 at the top of the table. Job done?
Yeah, actually I have to concede you were right the other day.
When
who was it? Might have actually been you.
This is a first. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I'm excited.
We start the show with, I'm going to concede that I was wrong.
No, I'm not conceding I was wrong.
I never contributed.
I'm conceding the statement you made, and maybe you, about this Boxing Day fixture list, or Boxing Day holiday period fixture list, was going to be a bit of a non-event.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about the games yesterday, which were pretty easy. And this was the same. I mean, the fact that it was 3-1 was only because, you know, in the first half in particular, once again, Jack Grealish, we're talking about end product, even though he got better in the second half. And Erling Haaland individually could have won this game on his own with 4 or 5, even though he got a brace. Should have had easily, I'll give him 4, probably 5. So still blowing the cobwebs off. And I suppose that gave Leeds a little bit of impetus. When Gilhard came on, he could have scored and they had a couple of free kicks. And that was the only downside, really. But yeah, I mean, from what? The first minute when Haaland had the chance with the Ake ball over the top.
Yeah.
At no point did I think any of these games were actually in doubt.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Listen, the only surprising thing in this game, or surprising things, were that Leeds were that disappointing. I thought they were really poor at home. And that at 44 minutes, it was still 0-0. Because up until then, it was all one team. And as Craig said, all Erling Haaland with chances, Jack Grealish in particular. And you just wondered if that would make for some kind of a surprise. But from the time the deadlock was broken, you kind of knew how this one would go. And it, in the end, was not at all surprising.
It's similar to, it's interesting, Craig brought it up, like, everyone won who you would expect to win, really, during this round of matches, with the exception maybe Spurs with the draw, but City kind of continuing this trend post-World Cup.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, on Monday, so on Boxing Day, on the day of Boxing Day, there was only one home win, which was Arsenal, so maybe that's the only thing that you can think, okay, this is a bit unusual, really, to have only one home win in a Premier League day like that. But then, yeah, you're right, we saw Liverpool, even with some shaky moments defensively, still winning. We saw United winning yesterday. We saw City, I agree with the boys, never really in doubt tonight. They could easily have scored 4 or 5, maybe even 6 through the whole game. And, you know, Spurs maybe, but Spurs don't start well. They never start well. So then they always have so much to come back into that, obviously, it cost them at times. But yeah, it was pretty fairly straightforward scope Boxing Day and then a couple of days after in the Premier League, really.
Erling Haaland stats time then, of course. He made it 20 Premier League goals already this season in just 14 matches. It's the first person in Premier League history to score 24 January. He's on pace to score 52 Premier League goals. The current record is 34. He's outscored 9 Premier League teams this season, including Chelsea. And if the season was to stop now, on 5 previous campaigns, he would have already won the Golden Boot. And he said afterwards, he agreed with you afterwards. He said, I'm disappointed, I should have got 4 or 5.
I don't think he's going to get 52. I mean, it could happen. I just don't think it will continue to go at that pace. There's a lot stronger teams to be played.
Right.
Albeit, you know, he easily could bully, yeah, even if I play Newcastle, a Botman and a Shah, that's going to be a great matchup there too. Excellent centre-halves in great form. That's a fantastic back four. There are so many other fights to be had. But yeah, I said to you at the Liverpool game in the Carabao Cup, I said he looks like he needs to get the cobwebs off.
Yes.
And even though he got 2, he looked like it again. I mean, the one he had in the first half, the brilliant little ball from De Bruyne, and he's let it run across him a little bit, but he's so intent in getting it on his left foot, and we're being sort of hypercritical here, he's so intent in getting it on his left foot, it's the wrong choice. He has to let it run across his body onto his right, and the defender then doesn't get near him, and he's got a cleaner strike to get away. And the one in the second half, when he was, again, the great ball through, when he was straight through one-on-one with Melier, Kenny gets it stuck under his feet.
You kind of always expect to see that hit the back of the
net. Yeah, he's kind of digging them out a little bit at the moment, and it's kind of like, you know, his touch isn't quite there, which seems strange to be saying for a guy who's got, I think, 3 goals in the 2 games back after the break. But he is, he's a little bit rusty.
Yeah.
That's just... I mean, he's admitted that himself, as you said.
Not bad, rusty.
Not bad, especially given that return. Listen, the truth is, I think the only thing standing in Erling Haaland's way and getting to that 50-goal threshold is City's successes.
Or injury.
We don't wish that on anyone. But if City go deep in the Champions League, let's say, and Pep Guardiola decides to rotate and we see how the games stack up, given this mid-season break, that's the only thing I think stops Erling Haaland. I don't think there's a single defence in the league to do that.
What's the percentage, Jules? 50 in the Premier League.
I mean, I agree with Craig. When you look at it like that here, it looks impossible. It looks impossible. If the likes of Thierry Henry and Shearer and Salah is best and Luis Suarez are his best and Harry Kane, if the maximum they did and they achieved was 34, and that's not even all of them, you know, how can he do 50 or more? But if you look at the 20 he scored now, I think it's 13 expected goals. So he's clearly scoring some goals that you don't really expect him to score from the positions that he takes them. And yet, like we said, he can still score more. He could have scored more today in the last few games. You know, this is not even like him at his best, really, like 2 chances, 2 goals per game, 2 shots on targets, 2 shots, 2 goals per game. It's not even that. So maybe 50 is possible then. Maybe why would he slow down? Why would they slow down? Even if you play bigger teams, you will always going to play weaker side anyway. Teams like are open like Leeds or don't defend well or are not on a good day. So he will always have chances. 2, 3, 4, maybe sometimes just 1. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. It's not possible really. But then maybe with him, it's possible. Maybe everything is possible.
Maybe it's a couple of things. Maybe we're saying we don't see too often teams of the ilk of Man City's ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now and again.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a perfect storm almost.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some fantastic United sides, Arsenal, Liverpool, City. And then you take the bottom of the league and the mediocrity, and I'm being nice, dross. A lot of it. And what happens is now in this sort of modern era is there's always been weaker teams, as Jill said, always. But generally the weaker teams have set their stall out and went like we know what we're up against here. Right, the only way we survive in this division and give ourselves a chance is we do what we know we can, defend.
Right.
There are some of these teams down there, and Leeds are one, that still think they can play to an extent this open, pressing, high-tempo game that has success sometimes against some of the teams. But when you play teams like City, who can just pop it around you, 1, 2, 3, 4 passes, and before you know it, it's gone from the edge of the box to the edge of your box, then maybe the difference between the Henrys and the Shearers, Van Nistelrooy, Fowler, the list goes on, is there's a little bit more space to operate
right
against the bottom, say, 6 or 7 teams who are saying, oh, we're not bad, we're going to play out from the back. No, that never really happened 15, 20 years ago. Teams just set their stall out when they were fighting relegation and went, all right, here we are, beat us.
To that point, I don't think it's only the bottom six or seven teams in the table.
Probably.
I think you could look as high as 9th or 10th, and City could beat, I'm not sure it was 9th or 10th, Leicester City.
Right.
City could beat them 5 or 6. You could quite easily see that. And to Craig's point, there has not been this gulf between the top clubs.
Fulham. Brentford.
City could beat Fulham 6 easily. You can make that argument right now quite easily.
I think Stevie always said something. He says, look, there is The way the game is played now, there is more space on the field now than ever. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you give quality players like this space, because of the way the game is played, because the fullbacks hug the touchline, the wingers are wide guys push on, the centre half split, even with the poorer teams, there is so much more space to operate now, particularly in the middle of the park, but and generally in behind defences, that teams with the likes of De Bruyne and Haaland are just cutting you open. Mm.
Jack Grealish was given a start today. How would you sum up his performance?
Do you know, I sum up his performance as it got better. And as his manager has said, this part of his game just has to be better.
The finishing?
Yeah, the end product. Whether it be he actually looked startled that this was coming to him. And then he had one like this one.
Where this is the one.
A beautiful little ball from De Bruyne around the corner to the youngster. And then, you know, that's just an easy finish. And there was a cutaway of Guardiola, and at the time it was 0-0, and he was like, do you know, he knows he's a good player. We know he's a quality player. We know he's got a talent. But I'll continue to say it. Generally, Mahrez, Foden, De Bruyne, all these guys, Sterling when he was there, had something up the sleeve at the end of the day.
Right.
He needs to do that more. I think it's 2 league goals in the calendar year, I heard somebody say on the broadcast. Although it got better in the second half, and it was a lovely steal from the square ball, and then the set up for Haaland, and then obviously he had 2 assists. But I think as a general rule of thumb, he needs to be better in the final third.
How does he get better in the final third?
I haven't got that answer. He gets better by when that ball drops to him, instead of whipping it against a defender like he did in the first half. When it's on his right foot, he whips it around the defender and he gets it on target. He needs to look as if when that ball's in the box, he's going to make half a yard and get a shot away or play a killer pass. I never feel that he's going to do that. So he was okay today, got better. But I think that's a big Achilles heel for him.
I'm not a great Grealish fan, certainly since his arrival at City. And to your question, how does he get better? It's been, 18 months now? I mean, there were a lot of comparisons between Grealish and Mahrez. And when Mahrez moved from Leicester, he had to spend some time on the bench. But he figured it out really quickly. It's been 18 months now, and we're still having that same discussion around Jack Grealish. Even when he gets things right, the assist for the Haaland goal, I thought was a little bit under hit. And Haaland gets onto it and makes easy work at the finish. But at that level of the game, you should be so much better. And if we're still having the same conversation now that we were having about Jack Grealish in August of 2021, I'm not sure that even Pep Guardiola has the answer as to how you make him better.
Just the one game today, saw City get the victory. Unfortunate news, meanwhile, for Reece James, Jules. He's going to be out for at least a month after a horrible season already with injuries.
Yeah, that's right. He got a setback on his knee injury that obviously took him out of the World Cup with England. It was his comeback in that game against Bournemouth. He only played 53 minutes. You can clearly see if you've watched on television or if you might have seen the clip on social media, you see the moment where clearly he feels his knee again. It's just a random ball. He goes for it. And after that, straight away, he's calling for the doctors. And you know, it's over. It will be up to four weeks. I think, to be fair, I think this is quite optimistic, because it was a bad injury in the first place, and it looked really, really worrying. We've seen he's got a personal trainer that works with him that was quite vocal on social media before deleting the message on Instagram about the anger that he feels that maybe Chelsea rushed Reece James a little bit for that comeback, not just against Bournemouth, but even before that he played a friendly during the international break for the World Cup. And that maybe that was a little bit too early. This is not the first time that it happened at Chelsea. And maybe there's something in there. However, right now, I don't think we have to play the blaming game. It's just a real shame for Reece James himself, for Chelsea as well, to lose such an important player at this very busy time of the season as well.
Yeah, January's huge for Chelsea as well.
Mm. But it's always a difficult scenario, but the player always wants to tell you that he's ready.
Right.
I've seen it, and we've all played with players that are coming back from longer-term injuries, even like cruciate surgeries. And after five and a half months, and I've seen it with a couple of colleagues of mine, particularly at Celtic, where Brian Scott, the physio, just went, I'll tell you when you're ready.
Right.
And not you.
Okay.
And it's just maybe that extra 4 or 5 weeks or that extra 6 weeks. It seems like an eternity. It seems like an eternity in your mind, maybe in your manager's mind. But now we're talking about, as Joe said, potentially between 4 and 8 weeks. And then when he comes back from that, that seed of doubt is in the mind again. Yeah. And if something happens, it's probably a surgical procedure and you're talking about the rest of the season. So you have to be really, really 100% sure when you're coming back from these nasty injuries, and it looks on the face of it that this was too soon.
Well, what's interesting, Shaq, Jules mentioned obviously the personal trainer. Certainly the level now of sports science is high enough to be able to say yes or no without even really needing to speak to the player, certainly if he's telling you yes.
But ultimately, the player and how he feels does have a big say in that, a big say in when he comes back. And there's so much you can tell from scans, etc. But Craig's right. As a player, you want to feel your fit. And it does become a real, you know, a real pull and tug between the two. And for Reece James, in his defense, he's had to sit out so much because of this injury. So you understand the frustration. You understand why he wants to get back fit. Not only what he missed out with international football, Chelsea haven't really been playing themselves. He has been a huge miss. And as a player, that's hard to sit on the sidelines and just kind of witness. And you want to think that it will be fine and you will be better. But then, and I think this is where the experience comes in, you get that injury, you get that setback. You know, next time around, you err on the side of caution. When it's your first big injury and you're coming back, you tend to push it a little bit more. And I say that not knowing Reece James' full injury history.
There is a correlation, and I'm not suggesting on this particular incident, but there is a correlation between the modern-day equipment in terms of the cleats, as you would call them, or the boots, as we would have called them, and how quickly as science moves forward with all these things in terms of how fast they will stop you. Sounds like a strange thing to say. Oh, these stop you a little bit quicker because they get more grip on the turf. Great. But actually, no, because the body is meant to have so much given it. And when all these new things with certain footwear that the players are wearing, I think you see a lot more sort of knee and tendon problems with players because these things are literally, the game is so fast and these guys are so fit and quick. And when they're planting their feet and doing stuff and it's stopping them, and I say, I'm not suggesting this incident, but it's a generalisation, I think it's putting the players' knees, ankles, Achilles, all these things under so much pressure that it's literally stopping them, like hitting a car brakes.
Right.
And the body just can't take it, or it can only take so much. And so I just think everything has moved on. The game is so fast. The equipment and the footwear is so modernised that you have to be just really, really careful.
How big a blow is this for Chelsea?
Huge, because you saw even in that short period how much width, attacking confidence, defensive confidence he gives them. The guy can do pretty much anything. He can step in the middle of the park. He can play as a three and a centre, as a three at the back, as a right sided, which he did in the cup final and other games. Huge. Absolutely. I mean, Azpilicueta is a hugely experienced player. We know that. But he doesn't give them the outlet going forward and that physical presence that Reece James gives.
Just a reminder, Extra Time, as always, is available over on our YouTube channel. Jules will be back with us, Craig and Shaka as well, to answer some of your questions.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
PSG returns to action on Wednesday as they play host to Strasbourg. Neymar and Mbappe would both start this game. Neymar would set up Marquinhos for the opening goal. We saw some nice touches from the Brazilian as well throughout the first half. 6 minutes into the second half, though, an own goal from Marquinhos would make it 1-1. And then in the 61st minute, it was all about Neymar. He'd get a yellow card for kind of handing off Thomas. And what did you think of that?
Yeah, I sympathise. Defender comes in a little bit low as a striker. You're trying to keep some separation. See them given, but I thought it was a little harsh.
Moments later, though, it's a clear dive from Neymar in the box. He gets his second yellow card. He's off. PSG down to 10 men. They would, though, eventually win the game after Mbappe wins a penalty late on. By the way, Marquinhos scored in that play. The referee brought it back for a spot kick, which Mbappe converted, meaning PSG win by 2-1. And, of course, top of the table at the moment, the defending champions, who are 8 points clear of Lens. Jules, Neymar.
Yeah, Neymar. I mean, he wanted to play to forget about the World Cup. Same with Kylian. That's why they started. And we saw the good from Neymar, like the assist and the skills the boys mentioned here when we saw on the highlight. And then obviously the worst with especially the second yellow, the dive, the sending off, the red card. He left the Parc des Princes pretty much straight after. He went to the dressing room and took his stuff and left. Galtier kind of excused him a bit in a way, saying that he was very frustrated and he had to let go his anger and that's why he left, and we have to understand it. I'm not sure I do, to be fair. That's not really what you do after being sent off at home or away. But it's just, yeah, it was just a night, I think, to forget for him. Not the night that he wanted after the World Cup. And for PSG, who they really didn't play well, it's all about the win and getting that late winner from Mbappe.
I mean, I just don't know what to say anymore. I mean, I just nothing surprises any of us. I mean, if he left the Parc des Princes with fireworks coming out of the back of his car, he wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, look, these are just unfortunate incidents. You'd think he'd learn from this. Some of the skill in the game, as we've already saw, was tremendous. Don't have a problem with these little bits of genius in the middle of the park that we saw, but you know, if you're going to go to the ground and take a second yellow, you can't really have too many complaints. And ultimately, you know, you have a team and you have colleagues that are still out there battling away, and yeah. Joe said you really, and I'm being super nice here for once, you just shouldn't be leaving the stadium. It's as simple as that.
As I said, I sympathise.
Is that the most egregious thing of this? Leaving the stadium,
yeah,
before the...
I think so. And give him the cards. And as I say, I sympathise with the first. Sometimes there's right. A striker reaching back. The defender's coming in a little bit low. So I allow him that. But you pick up a booking. You're on a yellow. You don't do that. You don't make the referee's job that easy. And then when you do, as frustrating as it may be, you don't storm off. You've dropped your team in it. There's no other way to put it. You've dropped your teammates in it. They've held out. They got the win. The least you could have done was be there for that. Be there for them as they come off the pitch, just to say well done. To storm off as you are again, you're making it all about you. And the one thing that PSG has kind of had go against them over the years is too many individuals making everything about themselves.
What would the PSG fans say about this, Jules?
I don't know. We heard a bit of booing after the red card. I think that was more for the referee than for Neymar, whose name was applauded and everything before the start of the game. So I don't know which side. It's a bit too early to say. We will know be more tomorrow. The friends that I had in the stadium, I have to be honest here, and like Craig said, and I agree completely, they didn't really understand how you can let your team down in that way, because taking a red card, especially that way, you let the boys down, and then you can leave because you feel frustrated when clearly you're the only one to blame. It's not a mistake by the referee. Even if you don't really agree with the first yellow, you could see given, and we see them given quite regularly. The second one is a shocking dive. So why is the frustration? What? So you're frustrated because you let your own team down and then you leave the stadium. So you let them down a second time. I just don't get it. So I would think that tomorrow the fans will feel pretty aggrieved. I think by Neymar's attitude, he's going to miss one game now because he's not a straight red, it's two yellows. So he's going to miss the next game, which is against Lens, by the way, which will be first against second, which will be huge away from home as well. And Messi won't be back because he's only back at the beginning of January. So again, you let your team down even more, by the way, by missing that big game. I just don't get it.
We saw Gutierrez frustrated on the sideline, Jules, obviously, because the referee didn't play advantage when Marquinhos scored, pulled the penalty back. Mbappe is not bad at these penalty things.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, after the World Cup final and the penalties that he scored there, I think the little hiccups that he had on penalties before maybe are behind him now, the confidence. We saw the reaction when Marquinhos had scored and everybody thought that was the winner. Luis Campos went absolutely mad on the touchline, for example, Galtier as well. And then they had to calm down and then Kylian had to take the penalty. We saw a very iconic celebration. And we talked about Neymar and the reception from the fans after that. We saw a very special reception as well for Mbappe from the fans, the banner saying, "The future belongs to you." And then what happened after the winning goal, of course, I think we'll go a long way into this kind of love and hate relationship at times between Mbappe and the PSG ultras.
I love when you go down Jules mentioned Messi. When you look at the team news on one of the apps that I use, team news, and when you get to an Argentinian player, it tells you who's playing and it tells you the subs usually.
Yep.
And then who's injured or who's out suspended.
Right.
And every Argentinian player I've seen so far, it just says vacation return date unknown. It's brilliant. Unknown.
Jules is in the big chair once again. The latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Nadim will be joining them. Be sure to check that out. Gab remains on holiday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
La Liga then returns tomorrow, Thursday. We'll focus on Barcelona against Espanyol, which is on New Year's Eve, which is Saturday. Barca go into that clash without Robert Lewandowski. He'll be serving the first of a three-match ban. Of course, getting sent off for the gesture that he made towards the referee. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Here we go. Let's show
that. He got sent off for that, didn't he?
Yes, but it's what happened afterwards.
Yeah, and then he pointed to his nose. But so he got a second yellow for this. Now, this was a straight red. It should have been. Anyway.
There, that was it.
Little signal.
Yeah.
Of course, you can construe that as anything. I'm often just doing
the referees
that.
Are construed it
scratching
as
my nose, you know.
Something bad against them.
And you got a nose this size, you can scratch it. Yeah.
Let's welcome in, shall we, Julien Laurent. And for the first time in a long time, ready for this? Feliz fiesta, Gemma.
Felices fiestas, Dan. Hola, hola. Hello, how are you?
I thought you'd be a bit more impressed with that. Anyway, Lewandowski out then for the first three games, Gemma. I imagine a lot of people are scratching their heads as to why this deserved a three-match ban.
Yeah, well done. There was a lot of people very much upset, especially the player himself. I remember I had the chance to talk to him just after that day, that game at Osasuna, because it was the day that he received the golden shoe. And he was quite confident that when Barca will claim for that three-match ban, he was sure that they for sure will reduce it. But with this kind of actions, referees are very strict here in Spain, and I think he needs to learn the lesson. It's true that he said that it's a gesture, because they were talking about that with Xavi, that careful when you see yellow, because this can happen to you here in Spain. And yeah, I think it's very much a streak, but the rules are like this in Spain, and I'm sure he will learn the lesson, because it's a huge setback for Barca, because he has scored almost half of the goals for Barcelona.
Yeah, of course, he's been key. You can see that here. It's, as you say, almost 50% of the goals since making that big move from Bayern Munich have been scored for Barca by Robert Lewandowski. He's really hit the ground running. When it comes to that move from the Bundesliga to La Liga, they've got. Let's take a look at the next three games they have coming up that he will miss. As I mentioned, it's the mini Barcelona derby. It's the early kickoff on Saturday, where they take on Espanyol. Then it's Atletico Madrid. And then it's at home against Getafe. Proper matches for Barca. Awesome.
Oh yeah! Go on, Gemma.
I mean it's three big games, and the way we've seen Barcelona struggle with the rest of the strikers maybe not being as fit, and especially because they don't have a proper number nine with so many minutes, and the confidence of Xavi Hernandez.
Big pressure on people coming in.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Pressure on replacing
Alexis, pressure on Alexis Dembele and the youngsters, and maybe, you know, Ansu Fati, who's been sort of in and out this season, and we've wondered if he was going to get a run on the side, and, you know, then Frankie de Jong getting far from the middle of the park. Look, I think what they're saying in Spain here is, if you're going to make these sort of gesticulations about referees or insinuations, we're going to ban you, no matter who you are. In some sense, he was a little lucky anyway, because it should have been a three-game ban if the referee had adjudicated it properly for violent conduct, which he never. So ultimately, they're losing him. That could be a big problem, bearing in mind how tight it is at the top.
Yes.
And it is a two-horse race.
Yes.
It's going to be a two-horse race between now and the end of the season. And he, as we know, having covered La Liga as we do, has, you know, been the big difference again when this side has struggled in games that have been tight. He's popped up with moments of genius, and it's got them over the line. Well, they have to deal without him, obviously.
Who's going to replace him, Gemma?
Oh, that's a tricky, difficult question. I think there are three players that can do that. Ansu Fati maybe could be the more appropriate guy for the position, but he hasn't been enjoying that so many minutes. Ferran Torres could be another option, or Memphis Depay, the Dutchman. It's difficult to say if he will be the one, because he hasn't been playing, because he was injured, and there was a little bit of the Barcelona felt like maybe he was not trying to come back as early as he could, because he was thinking on the World Cup. Then we saw that this was not true, because he missed the two opening games of the Netherlands there in Qatar. Memphis Depay is the player who got the winning goal last time they played the Catalan Derby last season in the Camp Nou. Could be one of the... I mean, it's very difficult to say what Xavi will do, because this is like an opening game almost. It's been a month and a half of almost holidays, we can say, but away from being training with Barcelona. So it's really difficult to predict. I think we have to see what Xavi will tell us in the press conference, and what is he doing in the last trainings, because earlier today was the first time he got all the squad that they were able to train all together when Koundé and Dembélé were back with the squad. If I have to say, I think it could be between Ansu Fati or Memphis Depay, but I have to see the last trainings.
That game is on Saturday. Meanwhile, on Friday, Real Madrid return their away against Valladolid. Karim Benzema, well, his agent, I suppose, more than Benzema, has been making the headlines, Jules, of course, releasing those medical documents that basically showed and confirmed that Benzema could have played from the round of 16 for France.
Yeah, that's right. And Karim Jaziri, who is still very close to Karim Benzema, who used to be his agent for many, many years, almost 20 years, and then not so much anymore, but still very present in Karim's life and environment and entourage, if you want. Adamant that basically what happened at the World Cup, which we kind of knew already, was that Deschamps considered that the injury that Karim suffered the night before the start of the tournament was just too serious to keep him within the squad, basically just recovering and getting better and not really being sure when he would be able to play him. Jaziri says the last 16. Deschamps thought it was more the quarterfinals, for example. That was a long time to wait for him to have him ready. And Benzema was like, well, if you value me as much as you've been saying, if I'm one of your key players, then surely I'm worth waiting for. And I'm worth keeping myself here, making me ready, help me recovering. And then whenever I'm ready, last 16 quarters, semi, it doesn't matter so much. Then I can play and help the team. You can see the two different, not versions, because I think they're both true. It's just you can see like why Deschamps decided what he wanted to do and why Benzema felt upset by what Deschamps decided to do.
When he didn't bring another player in, look, you don't have to hire Inspector Clouseau to figure this one out.
Right. You just don't. We're going Clouseau?
You just don't. Yeah. Right? Any other top player in an elite country, and Benzema is, would have been left there to see how, if he can play a part.
Yep.
Even if it's 20 minutes in the World Cup final, and it's a goal. If I don't bring anybody else in, that's happening. Right? We've all figured it out, so we get our own show. Right?
Oh, really?
Is that better gadget or whatever.
Oh, please take the gadget.
There's a problem. The Deschamps didn't want him around the place.
Yeah.
Hovering around.
Yeah.
No, it ain't rocket science.
Yeah, it's what Frank taught us. Is it Shushu? Is that what it was? Basically, the teacher's pet is someone like Antoine Griezmann.
Oh, no, you've tried Spanish today already. That failed.
No. It did not fail. Thank you very much. Gemma's underwhelming reception should not be a judgment on my fantastic Spanish. But, Jules, obviously, if it's someone like, say, Griezmann or Mbappe, then they would have stayed with the camp, yeah? It's because of, obviously, a personal rift between Deschamps and Benzema.
Well, we will never know. I see, and Shushu, well done, by the way. I didn't know you knew that word.
Yeah, take that, Burley.
Well done, I have to say. But in a way, I mean, we all thought Benzema was, because Deschamps brought him back out of the blue after 5.5 years of dropping him for the sex tape scandal for the Euros 18 months ago, or less, even less than that. So you think like, well, surely if Deschamps went into those difficulties to bring him back, because clearly he thought we can only win Euro 2021 or Euro 2020 in 2021 with Karim Benzema in the team. And then even when Karim was injured through the season 21-22, you still kept calling him and be in touch. And then obviously you call him for the World Cup. You call him up for the World Cup. You know, I didn't think there was a rift between them before the start of the tournament, before that first injury. Then obviously by now, and Benzema has announced his international retirement, so we know there's clearly the taboo is that they didn't see eye to eye, or they didn't agree on the decision that to send Karim home. And remember, the way he left as well, Qatar, we reported it, we broke the news on ESPN on the website. He took that 8 o'clock flight to Madrid. He left so early that no one said goodbye apart from his friend Marcus Thuram. It was all so strange. Nobody was still waiting for him after he came back from the hospital clinic, after all the scans and everything. It was just all weird. And one day we will know exactly the truth. I mean, Deschamps has refused to talk about it ever since that day, really. But at some point, he will have to. Karim, at some point, will officially on record, and I'm hoping it's to us, will say, listen, this is how I felt. This is what happened. I felt that the decision should have been different. Whatever he says, but at some point we will know the truth, and I think we deserve to know the truth as well.
Well, sure, the amount of propaganda you're churning out around the Ballon d'Or in support of Benzema, surely he owes you one, Jules, and he can tell you exactly what happened. Meanwhile, Vidalid Real Madrid, Gemma, you imagine Benzema there, and he'll be hungry to prove a point.
Oh, yes, definitely. He has been training hard for that, also for showing his national coach that he would have been available and could have helped. I think it's shocking that the Ballon d'Or and probably the best striker in the last two seasons was not there to help the team at the final or the semifinals. So I'm sure he goes back to Real Madrid hungry to prove his point and to keep being the probably the best striker in La Liga with him and Lewandowski.
Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid kick things off tomorrow. Of course, some of their players did really well in the World Cup. Simeone, though, will sort that out. João Félix, he says, and it's an important part of this team. It's ridiculous, isn't it, Gemma? We know that these two don't, that Félix doesn't fit in this Simeone setup, and it's only a matter of time before he leaves.
Yeah, I mean, they don't like each other. I think that's pretty clear. João Félix and Diego Pablo Simeone. It's still a big opportunity for João Félix, and I think he might be starting on that game. What we've seen in Atletico last training is that I think Simeone, even though what he thinks and everything what's happened and that he hasn't been starting in the last Liga games, he will give him an opportunity playing next to Antoine Griezmann, probably Morata in the bench, maybe to get the momentum of the player that he recovered the happiness playing in Fernando Santos' squad in with Portugal. In Qatar, yeah, it's a matter of time that he will be leaving. This is might be pretty clear, but there is another circumstance, is that he is the top signing of Atletico Madrid, 127 million euros, and they cannot sell him cheap because they cannot afford the losing so much money for their economical situation. And how many clubs are in Europe that can afford 100 million for this player? Not many. They are studying a kind of loan to the Premier League. We will see, but I think until this winter transfer market, this is one of the big issues of Atletico de Madrid in the next transfer window. But until this is happening, I think we will be seeing João Félix, Simeone giving him yet another chance, and we will see. But of course, it's a different situation. He won't be having the freedom he has when he plays for Portugal. It's another way of playing, another way of understanding football for Diego Pablo Simeone.
With your Arsenal way, Jules, do you want him?
Well, for sure is that Uncle George is trying to, is pretty much calling everybody on earth to try to to find a club for João Félix. Very, like Gemma just explained, and rightly so, on loan probably, maybe with an option to buy. Not sure about the obligation to buy at the end of the season, but certainly, at least if you loan him and he shines in whatever club that is, Arsenal, PSG, Manchester United, Chelsea, wherever you want, and that's the kind of club that Jorge Mendes is trying to find an agreement or find some sort of interest for João Félix, then I think it'd be easier in the summer to maybe find a club for, on a permanent basis. And in the same way, if you play him tomorrow, if he does well, and if he does well in the next couple of games, three games, again, it'd be easier. You can say, look, he's got momentum, he's back in confidence, he's just not working out for us here and for him here. But if you take him on loan, he can do well. All of that is very important right now. I think there's a player in there, but we've said it from day one. This was the wrong transfer. He's been almost like locked in because of the amount that they paid for him. But from the beginning, we've known that this was wrong. So there's a player there. It depends on the conditions, but I'm sure there's a lot of clubs that can do with a very good João Félix in their team, for sure.
And Arsenal are not one of them.
You don't think so?
I just don't see where the room is from.
Right.
They have... Odegaard was fantastic again. Smith Rowe's been out, but he can play anywhere along there. They signed Vieira from Porto in the summer, who's a playmaker, whose game time has been limited, but he's another player of that kind of ilk who can open up defences. So you're just chucking another one in, whether it's, I don't know, short term or not, it's another salary in there. Upsets the rhythm and upsets the apple cart a little bit. So
I'd have him. I'd have him through the middle for Jesus.
I'm not saying I'd have him.
I'm not saying I'm not having him.
What are you going to do with him?
Yeah, play him through the middle.
In place of?
Jesus. No. Jesus, I was injured, playing through the middle.
Nketiah's come in, done well. He rocked the boat there.
Nketiah's not the answer.
And I don't think Felix through the middle on his own up there with two guys wide of him is the answer either, if I'm being honest. I just don't think... He's a completely different player from Jesus.
Right.
Jesus has got old-fashioned centre-half skills about centre-forward skills about him, but he's also got playmaking and physical skills, and he can drift into wide positions. His movement good, his link-up's good, and he's physically strong. Yeah, I think Félix is a tremendous player. He's lacked consistency, but I think Arsenal have five or six that go along that front line that they can rotate from, and I just think if you're throwing another one in there, It's maybe a bit of a head.
I just don't think you can find anybody with the same skill set as Gabriel Jesus. You want a short-term fix, and I think João Félix through the middle gives you that, especially on loan, not all that expensive.
Let's talk about another forward, shall we, Jules? The deal that has been done. David Datra Fofana is going to go to Chelsea. It's confirmed when the January transfer window... We're going Mateus Cunha. Oh, my mistake. He's shouting at me now, the producer. Oh, yeah. He's very angry. Right,
hold on. Just talk Spanish. You'll never know. Spanish is...
Gemma will never know.
I jumped off the rundown.
We'll talk about
Cunha. I jumped off the rundown then. Let's talk about Mateus Cunha, who our producer's obsessed with because he doesn't understand how a player who's only scored, well, hasn't scored in 20 games, can go for £50 million, Jules.
Yeah, I think that's a fair interrogation, to be honest. He's not a clinical striker. We've known that. He wasn't when he was in Germany, although he had one really good season, of course, at Berlin. But he's not just that sort of Haaland type number nine, if you want, not even nowhere near in terms of efficiency. I think he's a good player, and I think he will offer you a lot. And Craig talked about Gabriel Jesus' skills in the sense that Mateus Cunha will run for you and will press and counter press, and he will bring all that kind of energy and even to some extent a bit of physicality. But he's also good on the ball. But just don't expect him to score 25 goals a season. That's not going to happen, you know. So it depends what Wolves are looking for. But we all thought that Wolves were looking for an efficient striker, which I don't think Cunha is. At least it's another body to go with Raul Jimenez, to go with Diego Costa, of course. And let's see how he does with Lopetegui in there. But yeah, you can understand why it's a loan with an obligation to buy for 50 million. Let's remind everyone as well that this is a Jorge Mendes deal between two Jorge Mendes clubs, Atletico de Madrid on one side and Wolverhampton on the other side, where Jorge Mendes is obviously technically the sporting director and who runs this club.
Gemma, are people as surprised as producer Pete that they got 50 million for him?
Our good surprise for Atletico, especially to relieve the economical struggles that they are facing. And as Jules was mentioning, he's not a clinical a striker. Yes, he's a fighting kind of a player that he works a lot for the team, but maybe as we see with that number, 7 goals in 54 games, is not someone that will have this quality in the final third to give you points there. But it's been a good surprise for Atletico Madrid that sometimes struggles to make money with this kind of operations. They've managed to do that. And of course, is losing some quality there in the squad, but it's not that kind of player that will be a huge setback for Simeone, not being able to count on him now.
Thank you very much, Gemma. Which game are you going to tomorrow?
I'm going to, on New Year's Eve, I'm going to be spending with you guys at Catalan Derby, Camp Nou, Barça Espanyol. So I will tell you Happy New Year there. And I'm very impressed with your Spanish, Dan. I'm sorry, I was so shocked I wasn't able to show my emotions earlier.
It's better than my presenting today, at least.
He spent 5 years in Spain.
Okay, Gemma. Muchas gracias. Hasta luego. See you later, Gemma. Thank you.
Horrendous.
Just a reminder, then, La Liga action kicks off tomorrow. Atleti against El Chase, our late game on ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've discussed this a lot, haven't we, over the last 48 hours. Gakpo is officially a Liverpool player after making that move from the Eredivisie for £35 million. Many thought he would end up at Manchester United. This is what Ten Hag had to say about missing out on the attacker.
I'm not looking at other teams. I'm looking at our team. And I'm convinced of the squad we have, the players in our team, that they have the capabilities, individual and as a team, to compete with all those teams.
How'd they get him so cheap, Jules?
Well, that's a good question. Very good question. I think what we saw in this last summer when Gakpo was very close to leaving PSV Eindhoven is a bit of a power struggle between John de Jong, who at the time was the sort of technical director, sporting director at PSV, and the board. I think the board wanted to cash in on Gakpo back in the summer. De Jong was saying, like, listen, this is crazy. Trust me, after the World Cup, he will be worth 15, 20 million more than what we're going to get here. And let's not forget that in the summer, United were there, but there were also Leeds and Southampton. These were the kind of clubs who were the most serious about Cody Gakpo. And De Jong got sacked, by the way, for that power struggle with the board, for not almost letting Gakpo go in the summer. And now he's leaving for still more money than what they got in the summer. But let's not forget, this is Eredivisie prices. Unless you're Ajax and you can push the price for an Antony, for example, and even Lisandro Martinez to a certain extent, this is what you're going to get for Cody Gakpo and the Eredivisie stars, really. So maybe for us, it looks like a very good price. And it is, to be fair, for Liverpool. Mm. But I think PSV, for someone who was born and bred in Eindhoven, went through all the academy stages, everything, for them as well, it's a good deal.
Do you like it, Shaq?
Yeah, for that kind of price, Gakpo coming in, and Jules is right. I thought played really well from the World Cup, showed that he has a good scoring touch coming from wide. You can make that argument that Liverpool have quite a few of those already. But still, at 23, that kind of price, the kind of quality he's shown for both club and country, I think it's good business.
You've talked about it already. Do you want to talk about it again?
Only if you're trying to figure out where we're going next.
No, I know where we're going next.
Oh, well, I'm good then.
Get ready. David Dacher Fofana is officially now a Chelsea player. Oh. He will join the club on a New Year's Day. Will he play, Jules?
Are you sure? Are you sure we're talking about Fofana now? This is the moment for Fofana now, yeah?
All right, Jules, don't you start.
No, I'm kidding. This is a good question, Dan. If he's going to play, we saw him, obviously, with Molde, we saw him in the league, we saw him, he played a little bit as well in Europe, doing well, to be fair. This is a player that just turned 20, only a few days ago, 22nd of December, I think he was born, who has been very impressive for a lot of the scouts who go to Scandinavia, for the goals that he scored, for the type of goals that he scored, for his attributes physically, the pace, the skills, all of that. I think there was a few clubs already like following him and being there ready for him. Chelsea got there first. This is part of this kind of new policy, if you want, or some of the new policy under Todd Boehly, of getting those very talented young players all around Europe. We saw Slonina, we saw Cazadei, for example. There would be more. Badiashile is probably the next one from Monaco, although he's slightly ahead of the other youngsters that they've signed so far. But this is all part of that policy. I like it, I have to say. Is it good enough for a big club like Chelsea? I'm not so sure. But Fofana has huge potential, huge talent. He's already an Ivorian international. Clearly, there were a lot of clubs after him. So well done, Chelsea. I'm not sure he's ready to play right now in the Premier League, like straight in January, for example, in the big games that they have, or in the Champions League. But I would think that they will give him some time, maybe him starting to train with the first team, but play with the reserve, for example, and all that kind of stuff. But if they look after him well and if he improves well, I think sooner rather than later, you will see him with the first team.
He's not Mateus Cunha's son, is he? Would you like to see that graphic again?
Who is?
40 million.
I don't know how that happened. There we go. Thank you very much, Jules. Just a reminder, a transfer talk should be your first port of call during the January transfer window.
Well, and that's where I'm looking for already.
News. There you go. What are you doing?
Talking. Hey, well,
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
On ESPN Plus, you have the Championship. Three games for you on Thursday. QPR against Luton. Millwall will take on Bristol City. And it's Blackpool against Sheffield United.
You have to change that music.
Why? Don't you like it?
Driving me nuts.
All right. Okay, good. I'll keep it in then. FA Cup action then. Next week, some notable ties for you. United Everton. The seventh seed Spurs take on Pompey. Coventry Wrexham. Sheffield Wednesday. Newcastle. Liverpool against Wolves. And then it's City against Chelsea. On Sunday. Meanwhile, on Monday, Oxford take on Arsenal. All of those games live, plus all the rest of them as well, on ESPN Plus.
Yep. Spared yourself there.
Now, you're going to love this, Greg.
Go on.
Football Americas have compiled the top 50 goals in North American soccer, and they put it together on a special, which will be available on ESPN Plus. That drops.
That does not land in my doorstep.
There we go.
I will be.
That is it. That's on the end of another seamless show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Julien Laurent returns, as does Craig and Xhaka.
You heard about the big transfer to Wolves.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time is next.
40 mil.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley, you all right? What are you doing?
I'm, there's just so much...
so much room in your dreams now.
It's my belt. I'm just going to have to punch another hole in my belt.
Oh, you could buy a new one.
Yeah, no, I'm on the job. I thought your arm was going to be on today.
No, why did you think that?
I don't know. I thought he said yesterday.
You had that weird argument with him yesterday. I still don't really know what it was about. Shaq is here as well.
There you am.
Shaq, you have some glitter on your head, I noticed, during the show.
Have you?
Yeah.
I love our rapping people who had glitter on it.
Well, you're wrapping it with your head.
I've just been covered in glitter for the last week.
Christmas was a long time ago, Shaq.
Yeah, I know, but there's glitter everywhere in my house.
That glitter argument will not stand. There's Christmas argument.
There's
will
glitter
not
everywhere
stand.
In my house.
It's not going to stand up in a court of law.
See, your glitter put me off my rundown, you see.
So it's my fault.
Definitely. Definitely your fault. Julien Laurent. Jules, we were talking about my brilliant Spanish. Did I see you speaking Spanish on ESPN Deportes during the World Cup?
Yes.
Showing off.
His grandfather is Spanish.
That was me.
I got Jesus' entire family tree.
Wow, there you go. Look at that.
Thank you, another show.
Yeah, multi-talented, that's why I'm.
Another show,
Jim.
Five live, tick.
Okay, what's the over-and on Haaland goals total in 2023?
Total.
What, calendar year?
Yes.
Or season?
Oh, for the calendar year?
Calendar year.
Oh, calendar year.
A lot.
How many did he have before...
Let's go 50. Let's go 50 again.
50?
Yeah, I'm going over 50.
I don't know how many he had coming into Man City. I can't remember.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't know that question was coming.
Otherwise, you'd done some research.
Had I done so, I would have looked back.
Is anyone going to help us? No.
Is anyone going to help? No.
No. Over, under.
Just shout.
He got 82 goals this year. That's what I'm being. Oh, that's wrong now. Great. Well, then now you made me look like an idiot.
Listen, just ignore them. Jules, I'm not answering the question.
Jules, what's your over-under?
Over 100, how many?
How many goals is he going to get?
Like how many? So I was trying to work out how many games he would play in a calendar year. And
yes.
I mean...
What is a calendar year
that's
like, Jules?
A lot of games. No, but like, I mean, the end of the season, then the start of next season, all the international, it's a lot. I mean, I was not prepared. Like, Craig, I didn't know about this question.
Listen,
I would say he's going to score 71.
71.
Stop this.
What's wrong? Why are you shaking your head?
Stop this. Calendar year.
Right.
It's not the Ballon d'Or.
Right.
Golf. It's a season. Right. We're dealing seasons here. This sport, we're dealing seasons.
So this person's interested in the calendar year.
Well, this person... write in tomorrow.
Right.
Write a letter.
Write a letter.
Gets through. Put it on a carrier pigeon.
Who should it be addressed to?
Anybody. Cunha? Good boss. Cunha. Mateus Cunha. Yeah,
I think so.
Wolverhampton, England. I don't know. Seasons. Seasons. We're dealing seasons in this show.
Right.
Not calendar year.
Oh, dear.
Calendar years. Who cares about calendar year? You don't get a trophy for a calendar year, do you?
Ballon d'Or.
that's not true.
No, they changed the rules.
That's not true.
They've changed the rules, yes.
Not true. It's not a full calendar.
No, no, there we go.
More nonsense.
What is it about Jack Grealish, Shaka, and opposing players wanting to tackle him to oblivion?
He just gives you the impression that he's a little bit chirpy, likes right. to say a lot,
right.
gets on the ball, wants to do a little bit too much, and that just drives professionals mad.
Right.
Everything about that.
Would you want to kick him, Craig? More than
everybody.
Other
players. Yeah, I was always
no,
about
no,
to say.
I like to spread the love.
Yes.
The trouble is he takes too many touches at
right.
times. And when you take too many touches, you invite. You look at Mahrez and De Bruyne. Yeah, they get kicked. Not as much because they generally release the ball earlier and quicker than Jack Grealish. And that's one of the reasons he's getting smashed as much as he is.
Right. Apparently our researcher is off today. I didn't even know we had a researcher.
Listen, I've told you. Listen, just ignore the gallery. Ignore it. Play on regardless. Even if your rundown's wrong, just play on. What are you shouting at you? Just play on. The people at home don't know. We'll just play on.
Jules, when you were playing your pickup games in Qatar, did you have a Jack Grealish vibe and everyone wanted to kick you?
Mm-hmm.
On the dunes too.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. To be fair, the English journalists thought that we were over competitive, me and Sebi and Nadem, and that we were like doing too much. So they didn't invite us. The next game that they played, they bought our football, but they didn't invite us, which
wow.
I thought was a bit unfair. And then when I played against Roy Keane and Gary Neville and Ali Marcos, who by the way was fantastic at scoring goals, still at 62 or 61 years of age, it was more like. It was a bit more level than the games that we had before with the ESPN
right.
boys.
I'm imagining there wasn't a lot of moving around from McCoist.
No, but he was clinical, Craig. Unbelievable.
He is clinical. I mean, I know. I've seen it. Played against him, played with him. But you're talking about a man who, even at his height and peak of his career,
right.
he used to have the doctor come on once a half to check him for a pulse.
How was he like that?
McCoist.
Yeah.
We can confirm he is alive. He just is unwilling to move until the ball comes in the box. But when the ball comes in the box,
exactly the same.
Was attacked. I'd have played in that game. I was trying to think.
You would
about,
have played in that game.
I was trying to think.
What did you just say?
I was trying to think about the things that I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have ridden the camel. Right, I wouldn't have raced Jules up the sand dune.
Right.
I definitely wouldn't have played in any pickup games. What the hell would I have done in Qatar, Jack?
I don't know. It's just
given what you normally do, I'm not sure there's many options available to you in Qatar.
Did Roy Keane punch you like he punched Jan back in the day, Jules?
No, he didn't. He was good. He said that, so basically he passed the ball and the ball went between my legs for one of his teammates. And he pretended right. that was a nutmeg. I said, listen, maybe in Ireland, but in the rest of the world, the nutmeg only counts if you get the ball back yourself behind, you know, after the player. That pass doesn't count. So, like, yeah, we had a bit of a, like, argument kind of thing.
My gosh.
We've got how many Ireland's
I think
got
it's
in 2022?
How many?
Here it comes.
Go on.
How many? Say that again.
Oh, God.
45 goals.
He was injured for a lot
games.
Last year, wasn't he?
There you are. Yeah.
So 50. That's
why tell me 80?
I'm going 50.
Well, tell me 82. Just
I don't know, that was you.
All that time, that was really interesting.
Well, there we go. That's good. See, you were wandering around Qatar, guy.
Well, I wonder how many goals.
Why is he wandering around? Do you want to ride the count? No. Do you want to play in a pickup game? No.
There we go.
Do you want to race Jules up the sand? No. Do you want to walk today? No.
There you are. Beautiful. You could hang out with Sebi.
No. No.
Who is more competitive, you or Sebi, Jules?
That's you. So basically, Sebi. No, yeah, that's me probably. Sebi would if I was getting into Sebi's head and go and press them, let's go and get it. And you know, me and Sebi are very similar when we play football. So I think we were quite intense, but that was fine. We wanted to, you know, we don't play for nothing. We play to win.
Right, there we go.
It's fair.
Listen, you're on holiday.
It's Jules.
Jules, as a Frankfurt fan, Kolo Muani has been a godsend for the club.
No Spanish.
Can he be a big part of France's future after impressive showing in the World Cup finals as a sub?
Yeah, I think so. I think Deschamps really liked what he saw. I mean, all of us were the same. For someone who was in Japan with Frankfurt when he got the call up because Christopher Nkunku got injured, otherwise he would have never been part of that squad. I think to then go and have the World Cup that he had, semi-final and final especially, was very, very impressive. He still is young, not so much in terms of age, but in terms of experience. He's a late bloomer. We've said that on the show before. He didn't go to an academy. He stayed in Paris for quite a long time and then got his chance at Nantes, who loaned him to the lower league team. And then that's really where he blossomed. And then that's the start of his career. So he's still quite young in learning and the experience that he can have at the top level. But playing in the Champions League this year with Frankfurt, where he did really well, helped him massively. And then everything that he sort of gained at the World Cup would be huge. And I think we can expect a much, much better even second half than the first half of the season.
How long is that flower staying on the table?
Probably till Three Kings, isn't it?
What's Three Kings?
January 6th.
Just say January 6th. Don't be smart. Say January 5th.
Hey, if I wanted to be smart, I would have said Tres Reyes.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Annoying me.
What's
just
that?
Sit looking at it. Right, something.
That's annoying you as well.
Yeah, I just sit staring at it. I'm going.
Official thanks.
It's got Matias Cunha written all over it.
I poked myself in the eye last night. I can't see as well. Right, official thanks to Shaka for sticking to his word and admitting Messi's the greatest of all time. Meanwhile, did any of the guys have a teammate who changed his mind as quick as Shaka does?
Really grabbed me for.
Don changes his mind quite a lot as well, mid-argument. Well, I've seen him do that before. Anyone change their minds?
Sorry?
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
Twitter. Unfortunately, you spend too much time on Twitter. You. Not me, but.
What are you talking about?
Don.
All right, Don.
Sit and watch it and having long conversations with people on social media.
Your life
That's
is...
another thing. It's not happening.
What's that? Long conversations with people?
Good grief, why would you?
In general? Yeah. You're quite sociable. I've seen you being sociable and have conversations with people.
Not on Twitter.
No, in real life.
Oh, in real life? Yeah.
You're perked up, man.
Yeah, but that's real life. Go in a bar, people start talking, but fine, no problem. Yes. Don't talk to me about football.
No
happening.
No, put the ball
My mates at the golf club started asking me questions about the World Cup, before the World Cup, and I was like, listen, I'm not working today.
No, exactly.
Don't ask me about the World Cup, because you don't know anything about it.
No, lovely company.
And I might as well talk to you in a foreign language. I was like that.
Yeah. Don't say foreign language around Dan.
There you go. Your life is on the line, Craig.
Yes.
Ooh.
And you need one of the following players to score a one-on-one to keep you alive. Jack Grealish.
Yeah, not happening.
Darwin Nunez. Timo Werner.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm starting with Darwin Nunez.
Nunez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he's missed a few. I am then going to Timo Werner.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Mr. Grealish.
That's it, Jack Grealish.
He's at the back of the queue.
That is it. Then that brings us to the end of today's extra time. Kay will be back tomorrow. Are you in tomorrow, Shane?
Yeah.
There you are.
Okay, hopefully she'll steer the ship in a sort of sane direction.
Well, yes, exactly. I don't know what happened there.
You poked yourself in the eye, remember?
I poked myself, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen my eye?
Huh?
I poked myself in it last night.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Right, nice sympathy. Right, Jules, you're gone. That's it. We will be back tomorrow then for more.
Benzema. More Benzema.
Benzema.
More Cunha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. More Fofana. It's all Fofana's fault.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.